Welcome to Revealing Jesus. Are you hungry to learn more about our beautiful Savior Jesus? I am your host, Christina Pereira, lover of Jesus, apostolic leader, licensed and ordained minister, author, podcaster, and kingdom party planner. Did you know that the Bible declares that grace and peace are multiplied to us in the knowledge of Jesus? And that simply means the more we learn about our beautiful Savior, the more we will experience all He died to give us. Join me for all things the King and His Kingdom, including revelatory teaching, interviews with fivefold ministers, media leaders, authors, and more. Come discover the beauty of God displayed all across the body of Christ. Together, we are revealing more of Jesus to a hurting world today.
A tornado that kills people is called an act of God. I mean, good night. You know, it's not God. It's Satan. God is the first one to cry. God is the first one to care. We humans have given Satan dominion over this world. Satan has now been defeated, but he's not out of the world yet. The day is coming. And so we need to understand that when I'm facing trauma, when I'm facing temptation, God tempts no one.
But before we get started, I want to give a quick shout out to our Christina Pereira Ministry sponsors who help support the mission to unite the body of Christ and fulfill the Great Commission with love. A big shout out to Gopher Ministries, who provides all of our equipment for our gospel events. Davis Financial Services, who does all of our financial accounting. Harvest Family Network, through which I am licensed and ordained, and Life Changing Productions, who helps put together evangelistic events to reach our city for Jesus. If you or your organization are interested in becoming a CPM sponsor, you can find out more information on our website at christinapereira.org. Do you have a loved one special occasion coming up and don't know what to get them? Well, now you can sponsor an episode of Revealing Jesus in their name. And you can give them a special dedication message read on air. It makes a great gift. To find out more information, just go to christinapereira.org/podcast. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode of Revealing Jesus with Christina Pereira. I am your host, Christina, and I'm so excited to have you with me here today. I hope and I pray that you are doing well right where you are and enjoying the continuously flowing favor of grace pouring from our beautiful Savior and Father in heaven. I've got a great show for you today. I have an amazing leader back with me today. He was on Revealing Jesus just a few months ago, and we had just such an amazing conversation. He's so full of biblical wisdom, and he has a heart to see people set free and walking in the things that God has called him today. And he's so graciously come back to talk about his book, Freedom Tools. These are for overcoming life's tough problems. I have with me here today, Andy Reese. Andy, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. And it's so good to be back. It's like another family meeting. Very fun to be together.
I love that. I know we spent about 20 minutes talking before we ever hit record. And I'm like, Lord, we're just going to have to record at some point. Well, I so appreciate you coming back. For those of you who did not get to hear Andy's testimony of how he met Jesus, you can go back and listen to that today on that episode. I believe the previous episode was on your book, Spiritual Gifts Blueprint,
right?
Yes, so good. And you know, this book was the precursor to that. So you said it best, now that we got to get free to discover what we are free to do, right?
Right. Yeah. If I'm free, then I go, what am I free unto? You know, it's like, God, I'm out of the locker room, but I don't know what sport I'm playing. And so that the gifted book came along to say, here's how you find purpose. Mm-hmm. Now that the hindrances and the chains are off, let's mm-hmm. run.
Yeah. So good. Well, I have enjoyed reading through Freedom Tools. You know, you gave me some amazing statistics about how popular this program has been. And I just thought it was so amazing that it's bridged denominations. Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, I think pastors are frustrated because there's all these things about confess your sins to one another and bear one another's burdens, all of the 59 one another verses. And yet in the church, there's just not a way to do that very easily. It just, how do I confess? And you talk to somebody and they go, you should talk to somebody else, you know, because they're not sure what to do. I mean, they say, oh, well, it's okay. Well, it's not okay, but you need relief. You need freedom from that. And so it came about to do that, to take those verses and put them into a very easy to use way of ministering to one another. You can do it at a coffee shop in 15 minutes. You can do it in a 2 or 3 hour session and go much deeper. But it's designed to give us a way to easily do the one another verses. Bear one another's burdens, confess your sins to one another, encourage one another. All those things become almost second nature. It's spiritual first aid is what it is. It's like bleeding, breathing, and in the spirit, we need first aid too. And that's exactly what it is. And if you run into something, you go, oh, wait, this is way beyond me. Then all of you know that you can bring a counselor in. Or you know, I've gone with people to their first counseling session and helped the counselor understand what we ran into. And there's probably, you know, it's probably there's 40 or 50 teams now around the country. 16 countries are learning it or doing it. And there's probably 15 or 20 counselors that use it in their counseling sessions as with Christians to kind of help get to the issue much more quickly and to be able to bring God into it in a comfortable way. And so it's found places I never thought it would find, honestly.
I love that so much. You know, there's such a need out there for us to be able to speak to one another and address those things. I just want to say, when I was dealing with like severe illness, I had Lyme and all this autoimmune stuff. And some of the most difficult things was that nobody really knew how to respond to it.
Yeah.
And it just kind of increased that loneliness. Yeah. And, you know, God's heart is that the entire point of the church was that so that we would not be alone, that we could bear one another's burdens and we could walk together. We could rejoice together instead of competing. We could weep together. We could pray together instead of backbiting and gossiping. You know, that was God's entire intention.
Yeah. Yeah. And we feel powerless to do it in some ways because we have, in some ways, abdicated our role and given it to the pastor who's like, I'm burning out. You know, I'm teaching, but how do I get you? Ephesians 4 says the thing that causes the body to grow is speaking the truth in love through ligament relationships one to another. Crazy. It's not good preaching or even smoky worship. It's that. And this topic tells you how to do that, exactly how to do that.
I love that so much. I'm so thankful. That's why you sent me this and I was like, Lord, we need to do a session on this. See, you actually opened it up by talking about the 10 foundations. And so let me just read these here really quick. And then, Andy, I'd love for you to take a couple and talk about them. Would that be okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So I think this one, I think, stood out to me the most, the two foundations about God. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So you'll have to remind me. I should have looked at them. God is good. I know that's the first one. What's the second one?
The devil's bad.
Yeah, God is good. The devil's bad. Yeah, here we are. Yeah. Oh, yeah. God is good. Satan's bad. And your freedom is God's will. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I've got them now. I know them, but I don't necessarily know the lingo I put in the book since it's been a lot of years since I wrote this book. But yeah. And so one of the first things that Satan tries to foist on us is that God caused this. A tornado that kills people is called an act of God. I mean, good night. You know, it's not God. It's Satan. God is the first one to cry. God is the first one to care. We humans have given Satan dominion over this world. Satan has now been defeated, but he's not out of the world yet. The day is coming. And so we need to understand that when I'm facing trauma, when I'm facing temptation, God tempts no one. I mean, scripture is really clear. God tempts no one. They're carried away by their own lusts. And so foundation number one is I need to get it clear that God's on my side, not against me. that scripture says, come boldly into the throne room. Think of yourself as a child going to see a very, very, very important father. You know, your father is president, like the Kennedy kids. They would come in and play with toy tractors under the president's desk. That is like how God wants us. He wants us, the Holy Spirit is, call him Abba, call him Pops. God, Father Almighty, creator of the universe. God's like, who is that? Call me Pops. That's who I am. And then the second thing follows right from that, that says, if he is that good, then your freedom is his will, not your captivity.
Amen.
Satan holds us captive. God sets us free. And that's, you know, we're prisoners and we're captives. And Satan puts us in those two situations with our acquiescence sometimes, but God sets us free. And once we get those two things down, everything else comes from that.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the difference between prisoners and captives. Can you explain?
Yeah. That? Yeah. So when we're figuring out how to minister to people, we realize that there were a couple of things. One thing is that if something is done to me, and that makes me we're both in prison, but one thing is I'm in prison because of something that's done to me. I was abused. I was lied to. I was stolen from. I was wounded by a friend. So wounding is something is done to me. And there's all kinds of issues we deal with. Every issue I've ever found, if you look at the parables in Luke 15, the lost coin, the lost sheep, the prodigal son, and the older brother, those are the four issues that you'll deal with in every single prayer time and conversation with people. It's some combination of those four. Crazy how simple it has made ministry when you go, I don't need a degree, a PhD in psychology. I just need to know these four things and how the parable showed that God dealt with that. Mm-hmm. And so wounding is the lost coin. The lost coin did nothing to get lost. It bears God's image. It's intrinsically worth it. And yet it's in a dark and dirty place through none of its own be. And what the woman, why a woman? Because she's so tender, because women are so sweet. You know, it says she shines a light and she sweeps the house. She finds the coin, brings it back to the other coins and has a party. And that's how God treats wounding. So if you look at entanglement is like the lost sheep. It goes somewhere, but it never meant to go there. So it's kind of sin that is prisoner. And it's kind of captive, kind of wounding. So a prisoner is in prison because they did something wrong. A captive is a captive because someone threw them in prison unjustly. And that's the difference. And the four things that we get involved in, wounding, sin, ungodly belief, and entanglement, those are combinations of prisoner and captive actions that we've gotten into. And so ministry recognizes this is a captive issue. And the way to get free from a captive issue is different from the way to get free from a sin issue or from a prisoner issue.
Yeah. Thank you so much for explaining that, because I think that'll help people. And I think it's important to, if I could just add in there real quick, that Jesus died not only for the sin that we committed, but the sin that was done against us.
Yes.
And what we're doing here is we're just appropriating the finished work of Jesus into all of these different areas of our lives. You know, you had mentioned this in your book, that his work is finished, but we're in the process of just enforcing that victory, not only in our lives, but also in this fallen world around us. We're still expanding the garden, still expanding the kingdom. We're still taking dominion with the victory that Jesus already died to give us.
Yeah, we're being conformed to his image in this earth, not so that we'll get into heaven. Heaven has nothing to do with sins anymore. Jesus bore our sins and our sorrows, our prisoner issues and our captive issues. It says in Isaiah 51, prisoners, captives, he bore our sins and our sorrows. And because he bore them, I don't have to. So freedom prayer is all about giving the things that are killing us to Jesus and let him carry it. And understanding what our part is. It's like he's the huge bull on the plow and we're the calf who's learning how to plow. We don't do much pulling on that plow, but we think we do because it's moving. It's plowing the field and we're plowing our lives. And Jesus is doing the hard work.
Amen. In fact, I mean, I don't think it would even be possible to even do our work had Jesus not done his work.
Oh, no, no. It's, yeah, no, now that sin is on him and Satan is defeated, now we can do it. We couldn't do it before.
Right. We were without hope. Yep.
Sure. We were different people. We weren't born again people. We had a dead spirit. So, yeah.
Yep. So good. Well, I know people out there, they want to experience all that Jesus died to give them. And there may be some blockages, like they've, you know, run into these things repeatedly. They've seen patterns in their lives. What would you say to them?
Well, first of all, that's not God's will. And probably they have somewhere, probably young, they probably believed something either about themselves or about the world that's not true. Satan's primary way of getting people to inculcate, to build their lives around wrong, ungodly beliefs is to cause things to happen when you're a child, because you have very little on which to interpret what has happened. And parents are supposed to recognize and protect their children that way, and to bear the burden in a sense and explain to them and get them to call out to Jesus even as a five-year-old. But that doesn't happen. And so I grow up believing things that aren't true. And I live my life out of what I believe. Even subconsciously, I do. And so our role with each other is to say, do you know that's a lie? Let me show you what Jesus said. Let me show you what Jesus did. And we can give it to him. It's crazy. And we invite whoever they like best, you know, Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, into the session. We connect with them. We say, where are you now? A lot of them say, oh, I'm sitting on his lap. Okay, let's go. Or Jesus and I are fishing. That was one of my funnest ones. And then we just go. And on that screen where the spirit bubbles up into our brain, where Jesus gives us impression, things begin to happen in prayer times that are so, so fun. I remember some girl wanted to do one in front of a whole church. And I was like, we don't do that. And she goes, no, I want to. And I said, okay. And cleared it with the pastor and everything. It was a training session. And there's, I don't know, 300 people in there. And she went through a time. And all of a sudden she goes, oh, he's touching my face. Oh, I'm sitting here. I was like, oh, this is so crazy. And people were crying all over the church. In fact, the drummer came up afterwards. And he said, my tears were hitting the snare drum. Everybody wanted a freedom procession after that, because when you connect with God, nothing matters. Nothing else matters. And God says, I'm right there. I'm right there in you and with you. You just can't see me because you don't know how.
I love that. You know, I think so many times Christians have this idea that God is distant, but he is more interested in even the remote and mundane parts of our life. I shared this with you earlier, but as a child, I would often talk to him about my cat, and he would sit there and listen because my cat was the most important thing in my world at that time.
Yeah.
And it's so amazing to me that he's such an attentive father.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you a new believer in Jesus and don't know where to start? First, let me say, welcome to the family of God. It's so important to anchor yourself in the gospel and the finished work of Jesus. This powerful workbook includes foundational gospel truths to anchor your heart in new covenant reality, and interactive journaling prompts to begin your relationship with Jesus. This workbook includes teaching based on the Word of God. It will help you understand precisely why you need a Savior, what Jesus has done for you, your new creation life in him, and how to have a relationship with him. Journal through the pages to dive deep into the heart of God for you as his child and increase your faith as you learn about our beautiful Savior. Be sure to pick up a copy of New Believer Workbook, Foundational Gospel Truths to Begin Your Relationship with Christ Jesus today. Links in the show notes, or you can pick up a copy at Amazon or ChristinaPereira.org/store.
There's a tool in this ministry called the Father Ladder, and that's a weird name for it. But basically, we started a training style. We didn't used to, but we say, okay, envision your favorite drink. Okay. And just, you know, sit, think about, okay, describe it to me. And people can, you know, they can describe the ice and the flavor and the color of the straw and everything. Say, okay, now envision the father just like that same screen. And it's crazy what happens. People go, you mean I can do this? You go, yes,
yeah,
absolutely. And then it's like, show us the father. So you see Jesus and then you sense and feel the father and life changes. Life just begins to change. And you realize I'm not doing any of this alone.
Mm-hmm. I love that so much. And, you know, I'm so thankful that God not only gave us eyes, ears, mouths, an imagination, a will, a soul, and we can connect with God through all those different things.
Yeah.
And we can see in our mind's eye, as believers, we have redeemed imaginations.
Yeah.
And so that's very biblically appropriate, you know?
I remember a young unbeliever who was at a freedom prayer time. The judge said, jail or freedom prayer, which was interesting. Yeah. So he came to freedom prayer. And I said, well, let's imagine God. He said, you know, I don't believe in God. And I said, he believes in you. I mean, what you believe is not all that important, actually, because he believes in you. I said, just close your eyes and just try to picture. When I say the words, Father God, what do you see? And he goes, you know, I don't believe in God. I said, stop it. Just what do you see? And he goes, well, he was a mountain climber. And he said, I'm scaling a cliff on a rope. And there's a rope up above me that goes on. And I look up and there's a guy in robes holding the rope. And he looks down and he says, don't worry, I won't let you fall. And I went, wow. Do you think that was God? And he goes, I don't believe in God, but if I believe in God, that would be so cool. And so it's like, God does those things when we come together to see him. He gives us pictures that mean more than any counselor could ever conjure up for somebody. Just
like, amen. You know, it's so interesting. I think I love counseling. Counselors are great. We need them.
Oh, for sure.
But the way that God does things is just so deep and so profound, and we are created so fearfully and wonderfully, made, the Bible says. And my thoughts are, he knows how he made us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And I think that's the most interesting part about doing these things with God, is that he knows the places that we've believed the lies.
Right.
More so than even we do.
Sure. And he can go straight there. And the interesting thing is, so many counselors partner with us in this. We love counseling and counselors, because once the person has this freedom, they have to figure out how to walk it out. And counselors are amazingly good at that. Amazingly good at saying, how did you get in trouble? Let me help you. And so we have, I probably, at last, we don't really count, but 30 counselors who do freedom prayer and do counseling.
I love that so much.
Because it partners so well. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. Sometimes the Christian world can be a little against the things of, you know, like counselors and things like that. So I'm so happy to hear that you guys support all of those things. Because there are sessions that we do have to refer to more professional people. But what I loved about this book is you really empower the people who read it to be able to do these things for others and for themselves.
Yeah. We call it spiritual first aid. You can do it in a coffee shop. I mean, bear one another's burdens, confess your sins to one another. All those verses, you go, those aren't about me. They're not about the pastor. Those are about me. How do I do that? There's no comfortable way to do it. But in freedom prayer, it becomes very comfortable. We team members, there's probably 200 in Nashville now. We team members meet for coffee and say, hey, can I? And just, hey, can I, is the signal to, we're going to have a mini freedom prayer session. We'll be sitting at coffee just sharing, and the person will pray and we'll seek the Father, and 15 minutes and you go, it's gone.
I love that.
Yeah.
Things that people struggled with for years in 15 minutes are gone. I love that. I love that. Well, this has been so amazing. I want to do something, and I feel like this would be really, really helpful to help people see more of who the Father is. You included this poem that has all of these beautiful words from the Father that are all biblically grounded. Would you read that over our listeners today?
Yeah. Can you tell me the page it's on?
Absolutely. I'm coming there right now. 51, page 51. And I have to tell you, I don't know where this came from, but I listened to this years ago, like repeatedly on repeat.
Yeah.
And it's so powerful.
It is purple. There is a footnote at the end that shows where it came from in the back.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this blew my eyes. I read this in a couple of prayer sessions. The person was just weeping. Okay. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I'm not going to read the scripture, but each one is a scripture quote. But I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. The very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me, you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew even before you were conceived, I chose you when I planned creation. You're not a mistake. All your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but I am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts towards you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul. I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you your heart's desire, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all of your trouble. When you are brokenhearted, then I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I'm your father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I'm for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might keep. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me, and nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home, and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father. I will always be Father. I am waiting for you. Love, your dad, Almighty God.
Amen. That's so beautiful. It's so powerful.
It is, isn't it?
It is. You know, it's amazing. I love that Jesus is the express image of the Father. Yeah, he came to reveal the Father. How amazing.
Yeah.
What do you want to say directly to our listeners today?
I think that your freedom is God's will. Your freedom is God's will. Just know and understand that. And he has timing. If he tried to change everything that needed changing in you the first day, it would overwhelm you. So he began a good work in you, and he will complete it. Your job is to listen and cooperate. His load is easy. His burden is light. And you will look back after some years and go, I don't do that anymore. That doesn't scare me anymore. I'm healed with respect to my father, even if he's dead, but the wounding is healed. The lies I believed are healed. There is no one on earth I haven't forgiven. I'm so free. And that's what happens when we simply let him do his work in us and wait till things are right. Sometimes in Christian ministry, you try to pick things that aren't right for picking and it doesn't work. But in freedom prayer, it's really important that we say, God, what's right for today? We don't cover everything. We just say, what's today's menu? And then it's easy. Then it's easy. It's permanent. And we say, look, this is free. Come back anytime you want. We'll do it again. We're just brothers and sisters together. That's all we are.
Amen. That's beautiful. I love that so much. Will you pray for our listeners today, specifically those who've been struggling with things for a long time and are wondering if this will ever change?
Yeah. Father God, you sent Jesus to show us who you were. And Jesus cast out every demon he met. He healed every disease he encountered. And he brought encouragement to everyone, like Mary Magdalene, who was a prostitute, became a leader in the church because of what Jesus said and did in her and to her. And I just want to say to every listener, you are loved just like that. You are beloved. If you were the only person on earth, Jesus still would have died to bear the sin so you could be free. And your Father says, come boldly into the throne room and find grace and help. See yourself sitting on Father God's lap. There's not lightning. There's not anger. There's not shouting. There's just arms around you and a smile. So, Father God, I ask you to give that as a gift to each listener today, that you are going to perfect them and you're going to keep going. And the thing that seems right, Father, you want to partner with them so that when it's gone, they go, that was amazing. Let's do another one. So, Father, I thank you that that is your will for us, that we're not stuck, but that we're free. And I rebuke Satan and your lie that you say we are stuck and we're your possession. You lost. And we triumph over you now in the name of Jesus Christ, our big brother. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming back and talking about this. I think it's going to help a lot of people.
Great. Yeah. And there's a book, of course, called Freedom Tools. And there's a website, freedomprayer.org. And we'll come do training and whatever. And we do Zoom ministry as well. And it's all free. Everything's free. So go to that website. And our goal is give it all away for free.
Amen. Amen. Well, this has been so good. I appreciate you being here with me today. And I hope and I pray that this has blessed you. I will have links in today's show notes with Freedom Tools, all those resources that Andy just mentioned, and where you can connect with him, our special guest, Andy Reese. Until next week, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus. God bless. Beloved, let me introduce you to my King. He is altogether lovely. No matter which way you turn him, he is perfection personified. He is velvet and steel. He is meekness and majesty. He is glory and humility. He is kindness and strength. He is altogether lovely, and he is my King, and he can be yours as well. All day long, he holds his hand that you might take, that you might turn one step, one grasp, one yes, one breath away from the arms of your loving Savior. Beloved, if you hear him calling today, do not harden your heart. The Bible declares that not one of us is guaranteed another moment upon this earth. So pray this prayer with me today and run into the arms of the one who loves you, who knows you best. Father, I ask you to forgive me for all of my sin, for all of the places that I have fallen short, God, of your glorious standard. I ask you now to send your Son into my heart, to be the forgiveness of my sin, to be my redemption, to be my righteousness, to be my holiness, to be my sanctification. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me, to fill me with your Spirit, your power, your glory, that I might bring glory to your name, Father. I thank you that I receive all of this by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and who gave himself up for me. I thank you that I am now a child of God, fully forgiven, fully righteous, fully holy in your eyes. And I ask you to help me walk out this life in a way that pleases and honors you, Father. I thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. I thank you for your love, for your kindness, for your great joy in saving me. And I thank you, Father, and I thank you, Holy Spirit. And I pray all of these things in your beautiful Son's name. Amen. If you've just prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to congratulate you. You are now a child of God, and all things are now yours. Keep listening to Revealing Jesus. Find a good Bible translation that makes sense to you. And keep hearing about our beautiful Savior Jesus. Please let us know. We want to continue to pray for you. And we want to send you a free PDF copy of our New Believer Workbook. Just go to christinapereira.org/welcome-home. Enter your email address and we will be happy to send this free gift. And continue to pray for your journey. God bless. I sincerely hope and pray today's episode has blessed you. Now it's your turn to continue the conversation. We are all evangelists of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like this episode, rate it, share it with a friend. If it's impacted your life, let them know that you want it to do the same in theirs. Help spread the word of the good news of Jesus. Subscribe to the mailing list and get episodes, articles, downloads, and more sent right to you. Link in show notes or just text Jesus to 1-833-815-7778. Again, that's Jesus, 1-833-815-7778. We would love to connect with you on social media. You can find us at Christina Pereira Ministries on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Until next week, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus. God bless.